President Trump spent the night at the Walter Reed National Military Medical Center after testing positive for the coronavirus.
His symptoms in just a few hours moved from being called mild to moderate.
I'm Scott Simon.
And I'm Lulu Garcia-Navarro, and this is Up First from NPR News.
There's been limited information as the president is treated at Walter Reed. Now others in his circle have also tested positive.
We'll tell you about the experimental drug cocktail that the president was given.
And if you hadn't noticed, the election's now just a month away.
October surprise right on time, you know.
And the month's just begun.
Indeed. Stay with us. We've got the news you need to start your weekend.
Support for NPR and the following message come from American Express. Small businesses are what keep our community together, which is why it's so important to help them succeed. American Express has created a new platform that all small business owners can use to keep their dream alive. They brought together 100-plus companies to provide offers and resources to help small business owners get back to what they do best: following a dream, serving a community, and employing America. StandForSmall.com/partner, powered by American Express.
Before President Trump left for Walter Reed last night, he posted a video on Twitter thanking people for their well wishes.
I want to thank everybody for the tremendous support. I'm going to Walter Reed Hospital. I think I'm doing very well, but we're going to make sure that things work out. The First Lady is doing very well. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. I will never forget it. Thank you.
But the president's diagnosis has added chaos to a White House already dealing with a pandemic and an economic crisis.
It's also introduced uncertainty to the presidential campaign, with the election now just 1 month away. We're joined now by NPR White House correspondent Ayesha Roscoe. Ayesha, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
What's the latest on the president's condition?
The president is now staying at Walter Reed Hospital. The White House says he'll be there for a few days and that it's out of an abundance of caution and at the recommendation of his physician. Late last night, the president's physician sent out a note saying that Trump was, quote, doing very well and had started a treatment called remdesivir. Trump also tweeted last night, quote, that going well, I think. He was seen yesterday walking from the White House to Marine One, wearing a suit, walking normally. Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany said he plans to work from the presidential suite at the hospital. There aren't many details beyond that. And the White House hasn't really elaborated on what symptoms Trump has or when they started. The New York Times reported that he had a mild fever and a cough. We also know that Trump has received an infusion of an experimental drug made by Regeneron that has shown some promise, but is still under review.
We're going to speak about that experimental treatment with Joe Palca later in this podcast, but what do we now know about how widespread this could be within Trump's circle?
We learned of two new positives last night. Trump campaign manager Bill Stepien has tested positive, as well as Trump's former close advisor, Kellyanne Conway. Conway was at the White House last Saturday. Hope Hicks is positive, Trump's close advisor. She traveled with the president several times, as recently as Tuesday and Wednesday. Obviously, First Lady Melania Trump has also tested positive. White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows said that core staff have been tested and that they're negative, including himself, Jared Kushner. And now Vice President Pence has also tested negative. But Trump had been actively traveling, attending events. He held an event for Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett at the White House on Saturday. That's where Conway was, and a number of people who attended that event have now tested positive, including Senators Tom Tillis of North Carolina and Senator Mike Lee of Utah and others. Trump was also at the debate on Tuesday in Cleveland, and there was a New Jersey fundraiser on Thursday that Trump went to, even though Hicks had tested positive.
And of course, we're just a month from Election Day. What do you think the presidential campaign might look like in the weeks ahead?
You know, voting has already started, and we are 1 month out from Election Day. Right now, Trump's campaign is on hold. He had been doing these big rallies, but now the campaign says that it's postponing all of the president's in-person events in light of him testing positive. The campaign says that some of the events will be moved online as the president recovers from the virus. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is continuing his events. He had just gotten back on the trail after spending a long time just doing virtual events. In Michigan yesterday, Biden said that he prays for Trump's recovery and that it's a bracing reminder of how we all have to take the virus seriously. That event was outdoors that Biden did. There is a vice presidential debate scheduled for next Wednesday. Right now, it's still scheduled to go on. And there are two presidential debates scheduled after that. We don't necessarily know their status.
President Trump, Aisha, has not exactly been a vocal supporter of wearing masks. Any sign that coronavirus procedures are going to change around the White House, in the Capitol, as a result of his diagnosis?
There were some White House staffers wearing masks yesterday. Trump was in a mask yesterday when he walked out to Marine One, but there's been no change to rules. And some prominent members of the administration, like Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and Larry Kudlow, who is the economic advisor, were still not wearing masks. You do have Vice President Pence, who is carrying on his duties and says he's going to still do some public events. In Congress right now, there are calls for more testing because you had those two Republican senators, Mike Lee and Tom Tillis, coming up positive after having been at the White House. And they're both members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, which is scheduled to take up the confirmation of Judge Amy Coney Barrett for the Supreme Court later this month.
NPR's White House reporter Aisha Roscoe, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Late last night, White House physician Dr. Sean Connolly announced that President Trump was being given remdesivir, an intravenous antiviral medication. In a written statement, he said that the president is doing very well and is not requiring any supplemental oxygen.
Before leaving the White House for the hospital, the president also received an infusion of an experimental drug made by Regeneron, which has shown some promise in initial trials. NPR science correspondent Joe Palca joins us. Joe, thanks so much for being with us.
You bet.
First, what can you tell us about remdesivir?
Well, remdesivir is a new antiviral drug. It's made by Gilead Sciences. It was used to treat patients with Ebola. Right now, it's been shown scientifically to reduce hospital stays by a few days for patients who need hospitalization, and it typically is given as a course of 5 to 10 days of treatment. So, interesting. And the treatment guidelines that from a panel from the National Institutes of Health say there's insufficient evidence to recommend for or against remdesivir for patients with mild disease, mild or moderate disease.
Well, to be blunt about it, does this mean the president is much sicker than we're being led to believe?
Well, the short answer is we don't know.
What about the other drug the president was given yesterday?
It's a drug from Regeneron. As you said, it's what's known as a monoclonal antibody cocktail. So an antibody is one of these immune molecules that fights off disease. A monoclonal antibody is a synthetic form of that antibody. And the cocktail is there's more than one in this drug. Actually, there are two. And the idea is that the two combination will make it less likely that the virus will form resistance against the drug.
Do we know why the president got these drugs now when reportedly his symptoms are not severe?
Well, it's been a sort of a dogma that a lot of these antiviral drugs will work best when the viral load isn't so great, when you're not having that much virus circulating in your system. And so at least in theory, there's been some reason to think that you would give these earlier on. But of course, when you're first testing a drug, you want to start it off with the sickest patients. So that's where it's been shown to work.
Mm-hmm. You and I couldn't take it. The drug hasn't been authorized by the Food and Drug Administration. How did the president get it?
Well, according to the company, the president got it under what the FDA calls the Expanded Access Program, or sometimes that's called compassionate use. And according to the FDA website, this program is a way for patients with, quote, an immediately life-threatening condition or serious disease or condition to gain access to an investigational medical product, drug, biologic, or medical device for treatment outside of clinical trials when no comparable or satisfactory alternative therapy options are available, close quote. Now, clearly there's some wiggle room in there because it has been given for people with less than immediately life-threatening illnesses. But it's kind of interesting, and it certainly is at odds with the way the president's physician described his condition.
And what would be any potential downside to giving the president an experimental drug?
Well, I mean, you have to remember what the word experimental means. It means it might work and it might not work. And actually, there's little or no experience of giving this cocktail along with remdesivir. So, it's just hard to tell. And Andre Khalil from the University of Nebraska is a scientist who's been studying these. He says Regeneron drug is one of several promising drugs that are currently being tested in clinical trials. But Khalil says the way you learn whether a drug actually works and is safe is to give it to someone in a clinical trial.
At this point, because we do not have any proven therapy, this is not a time to give patients, the present or anyone, unproven therapies outside a controlled trial.
Because if the president gets better, you don't know whether the drug helped or whether he might have gotten better without any intervention.
NPR science correspondent Joe Palca, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
. 2020 has thrown every possible curve at the American people. A deadly pandemic, a battered economy, wildfires, and a bitterly divisive election.
It has been a lot, Scott. And now the president and the first lady are sick with the coronavirus. Here to give a sense of how the public is reacting to yesterday's news is NPR's Brian Mann. Hi.
Hi, Lulu.
So what are you hearing?
Well, deep concern, but also anger. You know, concern because people are really frightened about what this virus could mean for Donald and Melania Trump. I spoke yesterday afternoon with Don Roman in Troy. This is a city in upstate New York.
I'm praying it's mild, and I'm sending him all my prayers for him and his wife. I hope they both fight this and recuperate and hope he wins the next election.
And Roman told me she thinks people around President Trump should have done a lot more to protect his health.
You said another reaction you're hearing is anger. Can you explain that?
Yeah, you know, the president has been erratic in his support for social distancing rules and mask wearing that are designed to slow this virus's spread. Some of the people I talked to said they think he's been irresponsible. He's held these big packed rallies, sometimes indoors. He's often seemed to flout guidelines that are developed by his own public health advisors meant to slow this pandemic. Josephine Floyd, a retiree who lives in Philadelphia, told NPR she sees the president's illness as a kind of rough justice.
He didn't use wisdom. You know you're supposed to use a mask. So he put himself at risk. And he also put other people at risk because he didn't use wisdom. He didn't listen to the scientists.
This anger also appears to reflect the president's broader handling of the pandemic. More than 200,000 Americans have died, and polls show people are deeply dissatisfied with his leadership.
The pandemic is just one of the challenges facing this country. I mean, this is about the president's own health, but it's also about what this country is dealing with. What are people saying about the stability and leadership of the government while the president is ill?
We heard grave concerns about this, especially over national security. Here's Sherry Johnson. She's in Seattle, Washington.
It's very scary because he's now put our country at risk with, you know, potential threats that, you know, maybe we're perceived as weak at the moment, and we just hope and pray that no one takes full advantage of that.
It's now just 1 month to the election, and in some parts of the country, people are already voting. How do people think this will affect the outcome?
People sound really confused about what this will mean, and in some cases, kind of frightened. You know, we heard the phrase October surprise come up. Some voters feel President Trump's illness might win him some sympathy. Others feel it could highlight his struggle responding to the pandemic. Trump supporters are also worried this will make it difficult for the president to get out there and campaign, to hold those big rallies, and they fear that will make it hard for him to catch up to Joe Biden, who is leading in the polls. One other reaction NPR heard a lot was the hope that President Trump's diagnosis might serve as a wake-up call, you know, causing him and some of his supporters to be more diligent about mask wearing and these other social distancing rules that do slow the coronavirus spread.
That's NPR's Brian Mann. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's Up First for Saturday, October 3rd, 2020. I'm Lulu Garcia-Navarro.
And I'm Scott Simon. Our weekend version of Up First is produced by a caffeinated crew that includes Hiba Ahmad, Denise Guerra, Sophia Boyd, and Danny Hensel.
It is edited by Ed McNulty, Barry Hardiman, Martha Ann Overland, and Dee Parvaz.
Our directors are Ned Wharton, Jan Stewart, and Samantha Balaban. Our technical director today is Patrick Boyd.
And keeping us all in line, supervising editor Evie Stone, executive producer Sarah Oliver, and Jim Kane, deputy managing editor.
Up First is back Monday with news to start your week. You can follow us on social media. We're at Up First on Twitter. And please keep an eye on this feed for the occasional special episode.
And for more news, interviews, and fun, you can find us on the radio.
Weekend edition, Saturday and Sunday mornings. Find your NPR station at stations.npr.org.
There are these networks of staunchly pro-gun groups on Facebook. And one of them is run by these three brothers, the Door Brothers. But it turns out, they don't just do guns. The Door family name has been attached to other causes.
Their goal is to eliminate public education and to replace it with Christian schooling.
The Roots of the Door Family on the No Compromise podcast from NPR.